Have you ever had a leaky pipe? The ones in the ground, I mean. It's estimated that 16% of water is lost to leaks before it comes out of the tap.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell. Talking business ownership, the nuts and bolts, and everything in between.
G'day and welcome to the Tradies Business Show. I'm Woz, your host, and today we're talking about water. We're talking about leaks and flooding and keeping water out of your house and your garage and perhaps out of the drain as well. Fascinating stuff about how much water is lost through leaks. Good old Google, there's some amazing information out there. I'm pretty sure most of it's true. I believe everything is true from today's guest, and I'm chatting with a guy who has brought a fantastic product to Australia. It's already big in the States, and he's bringing it into this country, and it's going to be distributed via select Bunnings stores around Australia. It's a sandbag that has no sand, which when I first heard about this, I was approached to have a chat to Andre on the show. I thought, what is this all about? How can a sandbag have no sand? But it's a bloody brilliant product. Solves a big problem, especially here in Australia with our flooding and flash flooding in city areas. But also for you tradies out there, if you've ever ruptured a pipe digging in someone's yard or putting in a drain or anything like that, or even, you know, cleaning a house or something. I know here where I live in Toowoomba, we get some pretty good flash flooding, and my house, unfortunately, the front door lets a lot of water in. So one of these sandbags would be really cool to have in the cupboard. And that's the difference with these products, or these sandbags. They're very, very different to a normal sandbag. So I have a good chat to Andre, not just about sandbags, but also about business and about working out how to price your product, what your customers want in a product. We talk about price versus value. We cover some good ground in today's episode. So, fascinating guy. Have a listen. He's got some great tips for you on understanding customers' needs. And stay tuned to the end because I'll let you know how you can actually win a couple of these miracle sandbags. They're incredible. I want some. I can't wait to see them stocked in my local Bunnings and head on down and grab some just to have on hand at home. So anyway, enjoy this episode and I'll catch you at the other end. Joining me today on the Tradies Business Show is a man called Andre John, and Andre is here to talk to us about some bags, but they're not your everyday bag. Andre, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Warwick. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Oh, good, all good. Now, I think my listeners are going to want to hear about this product that you've brought to Australia. It sounds pretty cool to me, and I've had a look at it on your website and read sort of the media briefs on it. It's very cool, mate. But before we talk about the product, can you tell us about the man? So who is Andre John, and, you know, what do you get up to, mate?
Well, I'm a small business owner based in New South Wales, Sydney, New South Wales in Australia. And I gain a lot of pleasure from trying to bring in innovative product into Australia and, you know, getting it out there to the broader public. We have a lot of our business is done with Bunnings, in conjunction with Bunnings, as well as tradesmen and other businesses around Australia. But this particular product is, while you're talking about the man, I'm married. I have a beautiful wife and two teenage boys. And I've been kept pretty busy like most folk these days.
Cool, mate. Cool. So what sort of products, obviously the one we're going to talk about today is not the only thing that you represent by the sounds of it. Can you tell us about sort of the whole suite of products, mate, and how you got into doing this. I guess, you know, if you know, we're going to paint a picture of your business and how you came to be doing this, mate. How did that all come about?
Well, the truth is, I've been in business for several decades, and I really enjoy the whole challenge of running a small business. And primarily, I've been in retail in the past. I did that for many years, as well as manufacturing. So we used to manufacture our own product, primarily, interestingly enough, in the fashion industry. So it is a very, very hard and very competitive industry, and that set me up for the rest of my entrepreneurial career, which was basically to become involved in wholesale. And over the last decade or so, I've been involved in wholesale of hardware. That is hardware, not IT, not computer hardware. And I've been... yes, it's a few folk do get that mixed up from time to time. And primarily the business I have was started before I took over by a gentleman who was based in the US and ran this business from the US and needed to sell it because he couldn't quite do it the justice he did. So I bought it from him quite a long time ago. And I have been running it ever since. And the products we currently have is we have a ladder safety device called the Ladder's Little Helper, which is a patented, innovative product to help keep tradies and homeowners safe when they're climbing a ladder. And we also have several other products in Bunnings that relate to protecting the gutters of one's homes, gutter guards. Yeah, so there's a variety of products, and we now have a paintbrush hook that is about to go into Bunnings. So that's another product that Bunnings are comfortable to you know, put out there and sell because it's actually very innovative.
Okay.
And our most exciting one is the Miracle Sandbag. Very, very, very excited. Yeah,
that sounds really cool. Now, I'm curious, and I'm sort of teasing the listeners here a little bit, and you've just mentioned the product that we'll talk about today, and I actually, I'm pretty sure I've got my hands on a couple of these things to give away to a lucky listener. But, Andre, I'm curious, mate. Now, Bunnings, obviously, big hardware chain here in Australia. They're sort of loved and hated, and sometimes by the same people. But you know, we all love to hate the big corporates. But I tell you what, anytime I go to Bunnings on a Saturday morning, mate, it's the place is packed. So people obviously like shopping there. How on earth do you get your products into Bunnings? I mean, it must take some serious work, Andre.
Yes, it does. It does. It is very hard work, and it requires a lot of effort. And I think probably the most important aspect is to know how the minds of the buyers work. So if you can get into the mind of a buyer and know exactly how he's thinking, he knows his customer better than anyone else. So ultimately, if you know the Bunnings customer, that's good. But you also need to know the particular buyer that you are going to see in order to ask them if they're interested in the product. That is the difficult part. And if you can tap into that and find product that is going to titillate and excite the buyer, at which he thinks will do the same for the customer, then you stand a reasonable chance. It's not always that simple, but that's a simplified version.
yeah. And I guess that's part of the challenge for you, Andre, is you have two customers to consider. You've obviously got Bunnings in this case that is buying your product, but then you've got to think about the end user that's going to be buying it from your customers. So, you know, there's a lot to think about there.
Absolutely, because ultimately the most important person is, my customer's Bunnings, but ultimately Bunnings' customer is the public. So I have to know how they think. I have to try understand what their needs are. And that's the first point to start. The first point to start is what will really be of use to them? What will be of use to them? And once you understand that, you've ticked the first base. And then after that, it's basically starting to understand Bunnings and what their needs are. So as I said, it's not easy and not simple, and it can take a lot of hard work, but eventually you can get there if you get it right.
So, Andre, it's something I'd like to quiz you a little more on. And you sort of worked in retail and had a lot to do with products and getting them to, I guess, end users, I'll use that term. That whole idea of understanding who's buying your product and their buying behaviors and the psychology and all that sort of stuff, it's something that tradies, I think, struggle with a little bit in their own businesses, is working out how people make those decisions. What's some of the key lessons you've learned over the years about, you know, working out what products or services people will buy and how to actually market those to them?
I think the most important thing is to prevent yourself from going down the path of seeking products that ultimately, sorry, I do hesitate. I'm trying to really think carefully about the appropriate answer, but probably the best thing is to understand very, very carefully what the customer would actually use or the service that they need. Yeah. If you can understand that very clearly. It sounds very simple, but in reality, it's not quite as simple because, one tends to get caught up in what one thinks of the product rather than trying to think of it genuinely through the eyes of a customer who is doesn't have any passion for your product, doesn't have any passion for your service. He just has a need.
Yeah.
He's cold. He's cool towards it. All he wants is a couple of boxes ticked. Will it be done well, or will the product do the job well? Will it fulfill a need that he really desires? The price is right, et cetera, et cetera. He will look at it in a very sort of a clinical manner. And if you can basically get those things right in your product and service, then there is a significant chance things will move along well for you.
Yeah, that's right. And it's such a good point, Andre, that there's a number of boxes that need to be ticked, and I often see tradies and I talk to tradies and I work with some as well as a business wingman that think that if they just deliver the best service or the best product, that that's enough. But there's more to it than that, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Without a shadow of doubt, there is a lot more to it than that. There's, the customer really wants every box ticked. Once that happens for him, then you have a customer.
So
I
was just going to ask, Andre, other than just guessing what you think or what I think customers' boxes are that they want ticked, are there any ways that you go about actually finding that out more, perhaps scientifically?
Well, it's funny you use the word scientific, Warwick. It's probably in many ways at the retail level, where you're dealing with the customer face to face, the best way is to become is to really engage with the customer and become as much of their friend as you possibly can. And I'm not talking about in an artificial manner. I'm talking about a person who's genuinely interested and keen to help and assist. And if that comes through to the customer, again, you'll have somebody who's going to hit straight for you every time they go shopping. Same with services. If they feel they've got a tradie who's genuinely interested, genuinely wants to do the best thing, nothing's too much trouble, that tradie will always have that customer coming back to him. And even price doesn't become as much as an issue as that particular aspect. Sometimes the most popular item can be one of your more expensive items because it fulfills the need to a greater degree, or the service that it is providing, is delivered with and delivered in a manner that the customer really enjoys and likes and will be happy to take on your services.
And that, I want to grab, I want to grab hold of that's all right. I want to grab hold of what you said about price not necessarily being the most important factor. Can you cite any examples, Andre, or you know, products in the past or experiences you've had where perhaps you've learned that the hard way?
Yes, certainly, certainly, absolutely. We have, probably the best way to speak from personal experience. I sit on both sides. I work a lot with tradies, but at the same time, you know, being a homeowner and a business owner, I engage tradies as well. And it's not what I look for is I'm looking for a tradie who I feel is genuinely wants to get the job done right. And is genuinely trying to work with me and, you know, fulfill my exact requirement or need. And if he happens to be charging more, his quote's higher, I will definitely go with him, go for him, rather than a tradie who is, you know, I feel is just there because he's trying to earn a dollar, nothing more. I'll happily pay that extra money. Now, obviously, there's degrees of extra money, but generally, it's, you know, that is what I look for first and foremost before I look at the price.
Yeah, and I bang on about it all the time on the show and with my wingman clients is this concept of value versus price. And they're two very different things. Everybody wants a great deal, but that may or may not require the price to be the lowest.
Exactly. It's so true. No, it's very, very true. And the way you said that is exactly how I feel about it as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, Andre, talk to us then about Miracle Sandbags. It's a funny-sounding product, but when I saw these things, it was like, is that for real?
I know. It is very unusual. The first time I saw it as well, I was quite amazed, and I thought, this really is amazing. It does. It certainly does feel like a miracle in so many ways, because when you actually take out a miracle sandbag from the packaging, it's like the size of a novel, slightly smaller than about the size of a novel, and it weighs probably less. Like it's this flat folded piece of cloth. It looks like a cushion that doesn't have any content inside. It's just been folded up.
Yeah, right.
It's like a pillow slip. Yeah, probably a pillow slip, a black pillow slip that's been folded up into a quarter. And it just is light and flat. And but the minute it touches water, things really start to happen. And within 4 to 6 minutes, this innocent, light, flat-looking pillow slip grows to become this big, fat sandbag. And before it touches water, it weighs 0.25 of a kilo, 250 grams. Mm. And once it's, been in water for between 4 to 6 minutes, it will weigh up to 20 kilos, usually about 18 kilos.
Wow. And so
I know.
So now I love gadgets and cool stuff, and particularly tech. I'm sitting here with my mixing desk and microphone. I'm wearing headphones. I've got an iPad running that we're talking through. I'm recording you on my MacBook. I've got external hard drives and cool stuff all around me. I love all this cool tech, and I'm a motorcyclist as well. So, you know, I'm into all my gadgets and everything, and this stuff really caught my eye because, like, this is, it's really cool, but it's solving a big problem out there, isn't it?
It does. It really does, because one of the biggest challenges in any situation involving water that is not doing what you want it to do, it could be a leak, it could be diverting water. You know, my own home, we're at the bottom of a hill. So we have real challenges with water coming down when it's raining hard. It could be absorbing water and just flood containment. This product is what is so particularly good about it is that it's there, right on hand, instantly available to be activated. So the minute it comes into contact with water, bang, it, five or six minutes later, it becomes a full-blown, you know, 18-kilogram sandbag. And the beautiful part about it is you can still reuse it, whereas unlike a traditional sandbag, once it's become wet, it's not reusable. So the miracle sandbag, you can leave it in a flood situation for up to 3 months, submerged in water. And then, and if you, obviously most floods will not last 3 months. And once you've finished using it, you just let it dry out in a, out of the sun. And essentially, you can reuse it many, many times.
And that's the real key, Andre, and that's kind of the punchline to this whole product is it's so it weighs next to nothing. It's like carrying around a cushion cover. You stick it where you want to stop water moving, and it soaks up water and becomes a physical barrier like a sandbag. And then
that's exactly.
And then when you're done with it, you stick it somewhere else and it dries out and goes back to being an empty pillowcase.
Yes, exactly. It will never quite go back to that very, very small form, which you can fold up, but it becomes very...
That's like I do a bit of hiking, mate, and I have a lightweight tent and sleeping bag, and I can tell you getting that tent back into the package that it came in is one of my life goals. Things never go back the way they came.
Very well put. It's exactly right. That's a great analogy, Warren. It is. It's a very good one.
But they're reusable. How many times can you reuse one of these sandbags?
Well, we're still testing them. We actually, we ourselves are testing it. We've had it for a number of months, and the thing refuses to die. And of course, we are testing it in a very arduous manner. You know, it's not normal life condition, real life conditions. We dry it out, we inflated again, dry it out, inflated. But just from the general chemists and the supplier, they said about a year of regular use. In reality, I think probably more if the use is not so regular. But how often does one have a flood or one need to absorb water? It's not that often. So probably longer than a year, but at this stage, we haven't got a definitive timeline. But it certainly is reusable many, many, many times.
So in terms of that price value equation that we were talking about earlier, you know, like sandbags, I guess, are reasonably cheap in comparison. Like, have you done the math on the comparison between sandbags? I mean, you can't really put a number on the convenience factor, though, in this case, because, you know, no one's going to carry around a trailer load full of sandbags when they're doing landscaping or plumbing works and rupture a pipe and need to stop it getting into the customer's shed or back room or something like that. But have you done any of those sorts of comparisons, Andre?
No, we haven't actually, to be quite honest. That's a very interesting point, Warwick. I suppose it's been, we've thought about it, we've discussed it, but it's a very nebulous thing to compare because, you know, how much do you put in terms of monetary value to the time it takes to fill a sandbag?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you'd never do it.
Exactly. You know, sandbags are, they need to be filled. So the traditional sandbag, I should say, needs to be filled. So, we're not a size we've measured scientifically, but it's something we should do actually and try to put a value to it compared to the miracle sandbag. But the other advantage of the miracle sandbag is that it was probably overkill. It wasn't necessary, but we actually have packaged them in a vacuum sealed packet. So these things are as, you know, there's no contact with any moisture whatsoever. And you can keep them indefinitely. You keep them for a decade. And you won't have, it'll be as fresh as the day you bought it if you open it a decade later.
Wow. Wow.
So whatever you buy. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm thinking, like where I live, we get a bit of flash flooding because up here in Queensland, the rain comes down pretty hard, as it does in Sydney, mate. And I'm thinking about commercial businesses. Never mind about tradies who are listening to this, but you know, commercial businesses should have a pack of these in the back room for when you know the water occasionally comes in the front door, and instead of ruining the flooring and wetting the carpet and all those sorts of things, it's like, you know, you should have a first aid kit, a radio, a torch, and a pack of miracle sandbags.
Well, absolutely, without a shadow of doubt, it's exactly what we are heading towards, is that it becomes an indispensable part of one's household or business, whereby if you have, I mean, my warehouse, it gets flooded about once a year. It just happens to have a problem with water ingress into the warehouse, and the landlords spend a lot of money trying to fix it up, but we still get it happening. And that's where the miracle sandbag is invaluable. So, and a house, if you've got a leak or you've got running water, again, it's a perfect solution to helping out. And as I said, it's easy to store. It lasts forever while stored. And it is really a very, very safe and useful thing to have on hand, a little bit like a torch in a way, that when the emergency arises, you'll be very grateful having one. In this case, the sandbag. If there's an emergency involving water, folk will be very grateful for having one. Another good use for it is for builders, where they need to create barriers for council. Often require that builders need to block off drains, etc. The miracle sandbag will be perfect because they can reuse it time and time again. They don't have to get a brand new sandbag each time.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's another useful use of it. Erosion control is another thing that they use miracle sandbags for in the States.
Mm.
For erosion control, recreational control, you know, it's useful for sporting grounds, etc. So it has it really does have a diverse usage out there.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sitting here thinking of all the different trades that could actually use these, you know, like even guys doing pressure washing of houses could carry some around, make sure that water doesn't get in the client's front door, and like there's just so many ways you could use them, and they're reusable. And in today's society of everything being thrown away, I was reading a report recently that I think it's something like less than 3% of items purchased still in houses 6 months later or something. Like, so much of what we consume is, obviously that includes food items and everything, but we throw so much stuff away.
No, it's true. It's very true. Well, that actually leads me to one other thing is if ever a miracle sandbag needs to be disposed of, it's environmentally friendly. So it's actually really, really not a problem to dispose of it. The active ingredient is readily biodegradable.
Right.
And you give it time. You know, if you put it in a tip, for example, it will biodegrade within a reasonably short time. With sunlight, UV rays, pressure and time, it'll just biodegrade. In fact, in the States, they recommend you just tip it back into the waterway and take the – so the active ingredients is contained within this black pillar slip. You cut it open, enter into the waterway, and throw away the actual, you know, the outer material of the sandbag. So I'm still – testing whether that is appropriate for Australia, but that's the way they do it in the US. So.
I assume that testing, Andre, you're not going around tipping the contents into our creeks and rivers.
No, that's the wrong way to test.
Yeah.
That's the wrong way to test.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome, mate.
We just want to make sure that the particular one we have manufactured is as safe as we would, you know, we'd like to think it is. And according to the manufacturer, it is, but we're going to do our own testing. But as it is, I know, biodegradable. I know that much. So disposing of it, you know, just empty into a rubbish bin or put in a tip is not a problem. It's not like some toxic chemical that'll actually create problems. No, yeah. It won't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very good like that.
Well, certainly sounds like a fantastic product, Andre. And as I said, solving a problem out there in the marketplace, which is, you know, essentially that's what consumers want. And if you're listening to this, wondering about the relevance of this chat, think about the problem that these miracle sandbags solve. And, you know, how much would people be willing to pay for that? And if you're operating a trade business, don't underestimate the fact that people will pay to solve their problems. You know, you don't have to be the cheapest out there. And you don't have to be the best either. But, you know, this is a great example of something innovative that's solving a problem. And, mate, I think these things are going to go off here in Australia. We have a lot of water here.
No, it's true. We do. And in fact, I've shown it to a couple of representatives of the SES, and there's a lot of interest being shown in for the SES, because that's as they said, it's actually the perfect product for situations where it's an emergency. You don't have time to go seeking out sandbags and sand and filling it up. You know, it's there on hand. It's light. It's easy to carry or store.
Yeah.
And bang, you have it. Solution for the safety of property or human life in some instances.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, Andre, fascinating chat, mate. Fascinating product. If people want to find out more about Miracle Sandbags, obviously we've mentioned that they'll be launched through Bunnings very soon, and we're chatting early November. So the launch, I think, is happening sort of mid-November 2017. Is that right, mate?
Yes, that's correct, Warwick. It's going to go into Bunnings mid-November. It won't go into every single Bunnings store that Bunnings have. It'll go nationally, but only into probably about half of the stores of Bunnings. And that list of stores is available on the website, which is www.miraclesandbag.com.au. If you go to where to find the Miracle Sandbag or where to buy it, there's a link there. You just click it and it'll produce all the stores, so you can see which store has it on, which store has it close to you. Although you can go to the Bunnings customer special orders desk and they will also order it for you. So that can be done at any Bunnings. But in that instance, you'll have to wait for them to bring it in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
So that the website is www.miraclesandbag.com.au.
That's correct.
Awesome, yeah. Mate. Awesome. Well, I'll figure out how I'm going to give a couple of these things away and how many hoops my listeners have to jump through, mate. But there's a question. There is a question that I like to ask my guests, and I'm going to ask you now before we wrap up, Andre, and that is, if you had 1,000 tradies in a room, what's one piece of advice you would like to leave them with?
To the tradie, the piece of advice, I suppose, is put yourself in your customer's shoes. Put yourself in your customer's shoes. You'll do well if you could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's often hard to do, isn't it? But it's so important.
Very hard. Very hard. I know. It is very hard. It requires a skill. But it's there's a whole bunch of them that do it so well. And some less as well.
Well, it's been a pleasure chatting with you, Andre. Thanks for coming on the Tradies Business Show. Love your product, mate. Can't wait to see this thing in stores and in action with some tradies. And like I say, listeners, I'll figure out how you can nab yourself a couple of these things. And other than that, mate, thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Warwick. I really appreciate you taking the time out to show interest in an amazing product. I really do. Thank you so much.
There you go. Sandbags with no sand, and they're reusable. Pretty cool product, and great chat with Andre. Fascinating guy, bringing different products into Australia, ladder helper things and paintbrush hooks, and now Miracle Sandbags. I think the Miracle Sandbag is going to absolutely kill it out there in the marketplace for consumers, but especially for you, tradies. And to help you do that, as promised, I'm going to give some away. So Andre and the team have kindly given me three two-packs with a retail value of $29.95, so $30 for a couple of 600 by 400 mil of these sandbags. If you would like to win one, it's really, really easy. All you have to do is go to Facebook. I know you go there occasionally, just once in a while. Go to Facebook. Make sure you like Tradies Business Show on Facebook. And then post a comment on how you would use your Miracle Sandbags. How you would use your Miracle Sandbags. Maybe you'd use them to plug up the mother-in-law's mouth. I don't know. Just a thought. Anyway, so go to Tradies Business Show on Facebook. Post on there how you would use your Miracle Sandbag. Tell me what you're going to do with them. And I'll pick out three lucky winners on December 15, 2017. So if you're listening to this after that, sorry you missed out. If not, go to Facebook, do the thing, Tradies Business Show, tell me how you're going to use your sandbag. That's about it. Couldn't be much simpler, could it? Kind of like using a Miracle Sandbag. Alrighty, that's it for today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got some valuable tips out of it. Tune in again for the next one. Got some more great guests coming. Some more Where Are They Now episodes. Hooroo.
You've been listening to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.